The following program is a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you like it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock.
Go to am1260therock.com and click on the orange donate button.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Table Talk here on AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio. This is our monthly program at which we sit down at the table with one of our local bishops. And today, we're honored again to have with us in the studios of The Rock, His Grace Bishop Bogdan J. Danilo, the Eparch of the Ukrainian Catholic Eparchy of St. Josaphat in Parma. We welcome you again, Bishop Danilo. Thank you for coming.
Thank you. Good morning to everyone.
And for all of you listening, I'm Dick Russ. Our producer is Dan Dealey today. We'll be with Bishop Danilo for the next hour. He has just come back from a relatively long visit to his native Ukraine and witnessed many things there in the context of the war. We'll talk about that. For all of us, we're in the middle of the Lenten season in the East that is called the Great Fast. And so we'll talk about that, plus many other issues as we spend the next hour with Bishop Danilo. But first, Your Grace, if you would please open our discussion with a prayer.
We, during the time of Great Fast, Lent, have a special prayer, which is not just a prayer, but involves our entire body. We make the full prostrations to the ground. And let us start maybe with a prayer of Saint Ephrem. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, Amen. O Lord and Master of my life, drive from me the spirit of indifference, despair, lust of power, and idle chatter. Instead, bestow on me, your servant, the spirit of integrity, humility, patience, and love. Yes, O Lord and King, let me see my own sins and not judge my brother and sisters, for you are blessed now and forever and ever. Amen.
Amen. That's the prayer of St. Ephrem, and Your Grace, we recited that just as we're taping this program. It would be last night at the Liturgy of the Pre-Sanctified Gifts at the conclusion. It's a very powerful prayer for Lent for anyone, Roman Catholics, Eastern Catholics, anyone of faith, just to pray to God for these things that you mentioned in there. Deliverance from things should not be in our life, but we ask God to bring into our life those ways that we should be living, not only in Lent, but through the year. So we're going to encourage people, they can just look on the internet, right? Prayer of St. Ephrem.
Yes, and I believe that prayer, of course, is special to Lent, but I think we should, throughout the entire liturgical year or our lives, pray that prayer because, you know, asking for integrity, humility, patience, and love, I think each day we should ask God for those gifts. And if we have those gifts, we can share them with those who are the closest to us.
A good way to conduct our lives any time of the year.
Indeed.
Bishop, it's been about 5 months since you were here to have your turn at the table here as we sit and discuss things. And you have just within about the last week come back from your native Ukraine. You spent, about 10 days, almost 2 weeks there. The war now, we've just passed the first anniversary of this terrible war that has caused so much suffering and destruction. All of us are aware of that. Bishop, just give kind of a summary of what you did there. You traveled to 4, 5, 6 different cities and locations, right?
Indeed. First of all, I would like to say thank you. Thank you to everyone who listens to us. Thank you to a community of greater Cleveland area and everyone throughout the United States for their prayers. Prayers and also support, both spiritual and financial. And one of the reasons of my travel was to see how those gifts that we sent to Ukraine, and as you know, there is so many non-for-profit organizations trying to help Ukraine, but for us as a church, it's probably the better and the best base because you are in each corner of that nation, in the villages, in the cities, even in the front lines with the chaplains who are with our soldiers defending the independence of Ukraine. So my goal was to go and be a little bit a visible eyes a year after. I was last July over there, so a good 7 months passed, and you can see the difference.
The Eparchy of St. Josaphat in Parma has raised funds right from the beginning. And I think the last I saw it was over $1 million?
$1.4 million was raised just in this eparchy. And beyond that, a lot of our faithful gave also through Metropolitan Fund, which is, you know, uniting all four Ukrainian Catholic eparchies. And as you know, including our Cleveland Diocese, they help us, and also the Catholic Charities in Ukraine, which is called the Caritas. So a lot is also sent directly to those offices, which basically give food and shelter for people who are fleeing still today.
Yeah, so someone, I mean, the need is still there, obviously, and will be for many years, and I believe it's still open on your eparchy website, right, to give some support, the Eparchy of St. Josaphat.
It's more information if you go under news. You can see probably places where I travel and met. And also right as you open is the Pray for Ukraine banner, and it's stjosaphateparchy.com. So if you would like to learn more, please visit our website.
Your visit included some time right on the border of Ukraine and Poland in that area they would call Poremyshl. A special place. When you were here last time, you talked about all these refugees coming across. What's the situation there now with the people who have been running away from where the most fighting and destruction is?
Probably just to give an image closer to our listeners, it will be the same like with the border of Mexico and U.S. When they cross, often they stay for a period of time over there and then tend to go inland. And the same is happening over there, you know. Peremyshl, a number of the crossing on between EU and Ukraine, especially Poland in that section, received initially a huge numbers. That city has 70,000 people living. In March of last year, there was second week of war when the Russian Federation forces were really pushing and almost taking over Kyiv. And I was in Kyiv, I saw it. It's 10 miles from the center of the city. There were Russian tanks. So God was good to Ukraine, because all the atrocities that they perform in the cities of East, they would probably do the same thing in a capital. So thank you for everyone once again for prayers and support. So in 2 days, a year ago, over 35,000 people walking, because you couldn't, there was such an amount of people.
Did you say in 2 days?
In 2 days. 35,000 people each day was crossing that one crossing from Ukraine into European Union, into Poland. They closed the buses and car lanes and just allowed people to walk. So could you imagine in 2 days there was the same amount of people in that town as the residents of Peremyshl?
Wow. And this continues. The number of people is just, they're looking for somewhere to have peace and security, right?
Indeed. But now the numbers are much smaller. Mm-hmm. Keep in mind that there is still a law in Ukraine that does not allow men age of 18 through 60 to leave, because they can be mobilized and drafted for the defense of the nation. So it's mostly women and children, or families which are with three or more children. In that special circumstances, they are allowed to leave. So now often the women are going back and forth, even if they work in Poland, in Germany, or other places. Keep in mind, the beauty of Europe is that in 2 hours, it takes you to go from Cleveland to New York. In 2 hours, you can fly from Paris to closest city to the border of Ukraine. So they would, on the long weekends, perhaps go and visit their families or elders who were not leaving Ukraine at that time. But one small place which was a joy for me, a year ago when I went the end of March for a first time to the border, I stopped at the Ukrainian school of the Father Markian Shashkevich. It's interesting that 150 years ago, it was the priest who, the same way as here in U.S., established the Catholic education system in Ukraine at that time. And one of those schools is right on the border over there. It's already on a Polish site. And there was 170 refugee kids in that school. Now some of them either went to other location, but there's still 120 kids in that school. So I had a chance to meet with them. And it's such a difference between a year ago when they were scared and afraid. Now they're still, you know, worrying, but children are very resilient. So when I ask them what to do when I cross the border, I play that I don't know the city of Lviv, even though I'm going 3-4 times a year over there. I said, what I should see when I go to your city? And of course, they mentioned the ballet theater in Lviv, all the monuments, but they said, go and check if my house is standing. Yeah. It's amazing. You know, 9-year-old boy asked me to check on his house because he wants to go home.
Yeah. Yeah, they want to go home. Bishop, you mentioned the elders, older people. I'm a member of your cathedral parish, as some people know, in Parma. And you talk to people, and some younger people are coming, and we'll talk about that later. But many of the older folks, 60, 70, 80, 85, they're not going. Maybe they have a chance to go west or leave the country. We've heard of many who say, you know what, I went through this before in another war. I'm just going to stay here. Did you meet some older people who are staying?
Both in Ukraine, but one example that I'd use during my homily, if you remember on the anniversary of Ukraine, because there was very close last Sunday, was the example of lady from what we would call in the beginning of the war occupied territory, which was outside of Kharkiv. Kharkiv is very close to the Russian border already in eastern Ukraine. And she was 5 when the Second World War, the front of the, at that time, Soviet army was crossing. And she recalls her grandmother asking her to go into basement to hide because there was, of course, you know, war activities around the place they lived. And then 80 years later, the same woman had to once again hide in a basement because the grandchildren of the same army once again were fighting on that territory. You know, sometimes in life, crosses are given to us. War is a cross that leads to resurrection. Look at the Europe. Europe went through Second World War, First World War, and thankfully today the European country of Germany, France, are friends of each other and are helping today Ukraine. But to do this twice in a lifetime, it's a real cross. And it was so hard for me to watch that woman, you know, in her mid-90s, you know, living through that experience. I hope she's back home because Kharkiv is now free and those territories, so hopefully she's enjoying a beautiful scenery of her homeland.
We're talking with Bishop Bohdan Danilo of the Ukrainian Catholic Eparchy of St. Josaphat in Parma here on Table Talk on AM 1260 The Rock. Bishop, you mentioned you were in Kyiv in your recent visit to Ukraine, the capital city, Russian tanks about 10 miles outside the city. His Beatitude, the Patriarch, Sviatoslav, never abandoned his post despite the war, the fighting, the shelling. It's very obvious that the Russians, he was near the top of the list of those who was supposed to be executed. He has demonstrated remarkable spiritual and moral leadership in his country. Tell us a little bit about the Patriarch Sviatoslav and how things are going for him. Now it's been more than 1 year, and he was still putting every day some kind of message out to the people of support and encouragement and faith.
Well, first of all, he's sending greetings to all of those who listen to us. You know, he has a connection to our Cleveland greater area. His younger brother is a priest of our eparchy in Akron, Ohio. So he knows the Cleveland. He was over here as a young seminarian even once upon a time, basically in the beginning of 90s, then as a priest. And definitely he visited already a few times our region as a head of our church. And I hope soon I invited him. He can come once again to be with us. Let's hope that that war ends. But as you mentioned, one of the few people that remain in Kyiv was actually Apostolic Nuncio. Newly appointed, he was appointed a couple of months before the beginning of the war. He's himself a Lithuanian, so he understands Eastern Europe better than anyone else. He remained, and his beatitude, because the area of the left bank of Kyiv was already, as you mentioned initially, with the presence of the Russian, at least special forces. They were flying over our cathedral over there, and the missiles were flying the first hours and days of war. He stayed at the Apostolic Nunciature, We hoped that, you know, as an independent post of His Holiness Pope, you know, that perhaps those forces will respect the ambassador, even though seeing other places and war crimes, I don't know if they would. But His Beatitude remained over there. For a short time, he was traveling between the central Ukraine capital and western Ukraine. But as you mentioned, he and on top of this, all the bishops in eastern Ukraine, Kharkiv, Odessa, Zaporizhia, which is Donetsk, because a see of one of our bishops is already in that territory that was annexed by separatists in 2014 even, they all remain, all the priests remain with their people, and especially monastics. It's such a deep spiritual sign. Me just coming and visiting them for those, you know, 10 days, they were so thankful. And I honestly couldn't help them too much. You know, I was just a guest of in their houses, but I was able to talk to them. I was able to ask them to express their feeling and experience of the last 7 months that I was away from Ukraine. And you are just surprised how thankful they are for people being with them now during this time of war.
Sure, you represented the people from the West, and they should know that people in the United States and Ukrainian Catholics and Orthodox and all people of goodwill do support them. And you can go there, and it means something, I think, Bishop, when someone is actually there face-to-face and telling them what's happening here.
You know, it's working both ways, you know, and I experienced this. And if the horror of war is destroying life for future, because, you know, fathers of those 2, 4, 6-year-old children will never come back. So their kids will tell their wives, their own children, and perhaps even grandchildren, as the generation of World War II did, you know, that you lost your friend, brother, sister during the war. The same will happen once again. So they have to go through their own crosses. But that war, as we know, changed also the face of the Western society. Us living in that unique place in the history of salvation, I would call it, you know, because God is still present, you know. Everything what is happening with us today still will reflect from the cross and His glorious resurrection, you know. One day we'll learn what it means when we'll be able to see God face to face. But we are in that time today that often religious life, meaning of life, family. Some people even say that we no longer have a crisis of family. We have a crisis of meaning, you know, because one thing would mean something to you. It's totally different to your neighbor. Thankfully, we live in a society that as long as you don't bother your neighbor, you are okay. But, you know, he mows the grass on Sunday, you do on Friday, somebody else on Saturday. And we basically didn't care for anything. As long as we were fed, we almost forgot already about the time of COVID. Yeah. And that disease a couple years ago that was basically paralyzing our lives and society. Today, the war in Ukraine reminded us what is right, what is wrong, where is goodness and where is evil, who is, you know, victim in that war. And somehow, and I cannot explain except by saying that's God's presence in each of His creation, either creation that runs to Him every Sunday to say thank you through the Eucharist, Thanksgiving, or a person who is still far away from God, still is a child of God. And something happened in the hearts of our society, American, as well as societies throughout the world, those places that were able to see the reality of this war, and they kindly responded. They wanted to do something. When you see a person in need, you want to help. And that's what happened with society abroad from Ukraine. And I'm very thankful for this. And I hope that that lesson can be carried to activities day in and day out. But we are in a land, Christ reminds us that poor you will always have with you. We don't have to look for poor in Ukraine. We don't have to look for poor in Africa or other places. We have them with us. Let us just extend the hand and maybe raise them from the place they are, and one day they'll be able to help another person.
You're listening to His Grace, Bishop Bogdan Danilo of the Ukrainian Catholic Eparchy of St. Josaphat in Parma, here on Table Talk. We're on AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio, and we'll continue our discussion with Bishop Danilo in just a couple of minutes. Welcome back to Table Talk here on AM 1260, The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio. We're talking with Bishop Bogdan Danilo of the Ukrainian Catholic Eparchy of St. Josaphat in Parma, talking about his recent visit to Ukraine. Bishop, you visited a number of seminaries while you were there. What are those young men who are in formation for the Holy Priesthood thinking as they're in the seminary and their country around them is being invaded and bombed and missiles and other men are going to war and people are fleeing? What's happening in the seminaries?
I have a privilege of, for a number of years already, overseeing our Patriarchal Commission for Clergy. So partially it's my responsibility to be with them. So on this trip, I was out of six seminaries able to visit three of them. I would start maybe answering the question from the seminary that was really in crossfires, namely the one in Kyiv. His Beatitude, Cardinal Lubomir, head of our church before the Patriarch Sviatoslav, after returning to Ukraine, he established the seminary in the center of Ukraine, where historically we had the seminary, but the Russian czars, of course, closed those seminaries and educational centers. So seminary is just right outside of Kyiv, and probably 4 miles from that place, Russian tanks were standing. When I visited them and I had an evening and a morning with them before the ordination, episcopal ordination at the cathedral over there, I wanted to just wander a little bit, and they said, well, don't go in a park because there are still mines over there. Could you imagine? In 21st century, seminarians cannot even go to a small park because through that park, a couple miles, you can almost enter directly into the proper city of Kyiv. So there is over 70 of them, a lot of them from eastern Ukraine, from the places where they are still under Russian occupation even. They are eager to be with their people. They are praying for them. You know, if you have your brother, sister in armed forces, and we had that experience a little bit throughout the wars that we are fighting, you know, in the last 20 years even. So number of them have a real experience of their family members who are fighting, but they are preparing to meet the needs of those people the day after the war ends. You know, one of the pastoral programs that our church started actually before the war, but it was providential, the topics is curing the wounds and healing the traumas. Mm-hmm. And we thought more about the internal traumas of generations, of people moving to a new places. But now it's the real traumas of war and wounds that are both visible, physical wounds, but also spiritual wounds. So there is a number of programs that we are trying to encourage those young men to walk with those who need their help.
Yeah, we have spoken with people in Ukraine and who are coming from Ukraine that say it is unimaginable kind of how they are thinking, how their heart is wounded, their spirit is wounded and injured by what they see and what they experience. Maybe relatives died and the homes destroyed and that sort of thing. Bishop Danilo, what is the spiritual aspect of healing that is needed? You can have psychological healing, physical, all that sort of thing, but it seems like what you're saying is without some kind of spiritual aspect to this healing, you must have this, right?
That's the blessing of us Christians and especially Catholics, that we can always turn to God first. All of the what you mentioned, you know, the psychological, the post-war traumatic experience, definitely the science and the medical field can help us. But the blessing for us is that we can always turn to God first. And probably for the listeners, as image will be the generation of their parents or grandparents, you know, because if you are today in your 70s, it's your father probably who fought in that war. Remember, when they came, they didn't want to talk about the war. Nobody wants to bring those images. And they were blessed that they left the experience of war across the ocean, but they had to live with this. And it was probably hard for them. And often they didn't speak about that experience. What we are trying to do is to help today those who are experiencing the same war to be a little bit more open so that moment of healing can come faster. First of all, ask God for forgiveness, you know, because we all carry a lot of bad blood, even for the president of the Russian Federation. But as a Christians, we should even forgive him. Soon we will hear on Good Friday the portion of the gospel were crisis with the two thieves, and you know they were killers. At that time of Christ, you were not crucified just for stealing something. You had to really be accused and of major crime. And one of them is forgiven by Christ and says, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." Not too many people we know got that promise from Lord Himself. So forgiveness, also, especially soldiers, they unfortunately, by defending themselves and their loved one, they had to kill. So they have to ask God for forgiveness of that action, because they also killed a child of God, even though it was an enemy. But often people say that those who believe, if they do those first steps, turn to God for that forgiveness, they are able later on to carry on the crosses they have with less burden, because they know they are not carrying that cross themselves, but God is with them.
Yeah, and we're talking about this forgiveness in Lent, in the Great Fast, which is even more powerful. I noticed that in some of our divine liturgies on Sundays and during the week, during one of the some of the prayers, there is a prayer for the conversion and the salvation of the enemy. This is a very hard thing, as you say. Jesus said, pray for those who persecute you. It must be very, very hard for the people in Ukraine and those with family and relationships here to do this, Bishop. It's a very hard step to take, as you say, to offer forgiveness, but Christ did it to the repentant thief. And how do we approach this?
You know, and another group of people that we sometimes don't see visibly, and I had a chance to meet them, are the POWs. Yeah. And, you know, could you imagine how hard it is for them? They are today, and please say a prayer for those who are today in prisons throughout the world, but especially since we speak about the war in Ukraine, in occupied territory. You know, they are being psychologically destroyed, physically tortured, and they are told that Ukraine fall, you know, you are by yourself, your family is already, you know, part of another nation. And what they say is that they can carry the physical torture. Could you imagine? And I don't even want our listeners to describe what that torture is. You probably, all of you, had a chance to at least have a glimpse through the public televisions what can happen in those situations. What kept them, they said, was love. Knowing that there is somebody home who is waiting for them. Wife, children, parents, neighbors, and you know, and those people are day in and day out praying that those who are today in the POWs and other places, they can return to the people who love them. What is the foundation of future and our society, I think? Each day we have a chance, you know, today to start anew. That's the blessing of new day and God's in our life, is to just by love change the society. We can do it. If people can, day after war, start anew and be kind and loving and more appreciative of the gift of love and friendship and everything what we receive, how much more we can do it in a place where there is a peace, quietness, and we are able to express ourselves.
We mentioned this briefly at the beginning of our program, Bishop Danilo, that coming to Ohio and particularly the Cleveland area and Parma, hundreds, maybe thousands and thousands of people fleeing the war that are coming from Ukraine. Many women, children, we've seen them in church. I just mentioned to you during our break that each Sunday, it seems we see some new faces, women and children mostly, because most of the men are not allowed to come, but there are some who have many children. What about these newcomers specifically to your eparchy, your cathedral parish, and other parishes under your jurisdiction? What kind of experiences and what are you hearing from them?
You know, one of the uniqueness of the immigrant church, or the church that still receives the people who are crossing, is that you are home away from home. You know, if you are at St. Joseph at Cathedral for English service, you can pray the same way as you are praying at the Cathedral in Cleveland or any other Roman Catholic church throughout the diocese. But if you come for the Ukrainian language liturgy, you almost feel like at home, because it's the language that you speak. So often they tend to be with our community because it gives them that experience of home when they come. But also, maybe it's a good point also to say thank you to Catholic Charities of Cleveland, because a lot of non-Ukrainians are made and extended the hand. The uniqueness of our system is that, if you recall, over a year ago, or almost a year, United States introduced the United for Ukraine program, helping the refugees. Different countries did this differently. You know, we spoke about millions crossing the border. You couldn't, you know, at that time ask them for their social security number or any other number on the border when they were fleeing to safety. But we were blessed that we were more established already system. So the system in U.S., as usually historically with other immigrations, require a sponsorship. So a number of Ukrainian families, of course, sponsor. They sponsor their family members, neighbors, maybe people they knew, and also strangers, orphans often. We have a great example of the priest. If you remember, we spoke about this in one of our programs, who went the day after war started, went to Ukraine to rescue over 30 orphans from Kyiv region. But overall, society in America accepted a lot of those refugees. So thank you for doing this.
We're talking with Bishop Bohdan Danilo of the Ukrainian Catholic Eparchy of St. Josaphat in Parma about his experiences just coming back from his native Ukraine. The war has just passed the first anniversary. Bishop, thank you for the reminders of all these aspects that you gave us here that we should think about, consider, pray about, and do that every day for the people who are suffering and for their health and their salvation spiritually and physically. Here at home, recently, about 2 months ago, we experienced the passing, the death of your immediate predecessor as the bishop, the apostolic administrator, John Bura. And Bishop Bura was here for about 7, 8, 9 years as the administrator, and he passed into eternal life. He was in his 70s, and those of us who knew him well remember him with great fondness. A few words about Bishop Bura.
Well, first of all, please keep him in your prayers. He touched lives of people of greater Cleveland area, and especially the Eparchy of St. Josaphat. I have a unique relationship with Bishop John. I was a seminarian when he was a rector at St. Josaphat Seminary in Washington, where we attended the Catholic University as a theology student. So I knew Bishop John for quite a bit, and then I was the one who replaced him in the ministry here in this diocese. Bishop John was a unique person. Also, we are talking war, immigrations. He's a child of the Second World War. He was born in Germany when in a DP camps, displaced people. So his life was also uprooted from native Ukraine, where his parents lived, and he spent his entire life, of course, in the United States. But when he was returning to Ukraine, even though he never knew Ukraine as a child, it was like going home for him as well. So Bishop John served countless generation of seminarians in United States through the seminary system, both in Stanford. He was even at that time one of the teachers at the St. Basil College in Stanford. Of course, majority of his time spent in Washington, D.C., other parishes. And like with all of our lives, one day we are passing from this reality into a place where there is no pain, sorrow, or mourning, but life everlasting, as we say in a prayer for the deceased. So Bishop John will be remembered well by everyone whom he touched. He was a humble man, quiet man, but very deep in his prayer. And he, as you may know, enjoyed writing the icons also. So he expressed himself also through iconography. So please pray for him, Bishop John.
May his memory be eternal, Vichnaya Pamyat, as it is said. And we will continue our discussion with Bishop Bohdan Danilo in just a couple of minutes. Bishop, we are in the season of Lent, the great fast, right kind of in the middle of it, leading toward the passion and death and resurrection of Christ. And we'll talk about a unique image that you and your brother bishops have given us for consideration during this Lenten season when we return in just a couple of minutes. Welcome back, everyone, to Table Talk here on The Rock, AM 1260, Cleveland Catholic Radio. I'm Dick Russ, and in the studio with me is His Grace Bishop Bogdan Danilo of the Ukrainian Catholic Eparchy of St. Josephat in Parma. Our producer is Dan Dealey. Bishop, obviously, we're in the middle of Lent, or in the East, as we call the Great Fast. You and your brother, Ukrainian bishops here in the United States, issued a letter on the Great Fast and gave a brief but very interesting and compelling image that most of us, I don't know that we've talked about it, the image of the leper. And in the biblical days, they were to be avoided, pushed away. No one could come close to them. There was this great barrier, physical barrier between the leper and everybody else. And you and your brother bishops have turned this and said, how about the spiritual barriers in our lives? Are we not like the one that's avoiding the leper? What about this, Bishop?
Well, I think we lived through that. You know, lepers were maybe 2,000 years ago in the biblical images of Christ, but recall the COVID recently. We're also afraid of each other, you know. If you cough at that time in any public places, you know, oh, you were leopard to
you're
those
right.
whom you
yeah.
encounter.
Or if you didn't wear a mask or something, everybody looked at you like, you know, and ran away.
You know, being a leopard was a cross. You know, today we would say those people carry the cross, you know, in their lives. And, of course, the largest cross we have is probably being alone. A lot of theologians, and we mourn recently of passing of Pope Benedict, Cardinal Ratzinger, and his famous eschatology, for example, where he's dealing with the realities that we are still not seeing face to face. Or rather, a lot of Eastern theologians often say, what is really hell? Hell is just absence of God, absence of love. And you're alone over there. So we try in that pastoral letter, and especially Bishop Paul, who co-authored on behalf of us that letter, use that image. We are in physical sense away from lepers, and in a spiritual sense, we are also away sometimes as lepers from God and also from each other. So Lent is that beautiful time for us to cross those barriers, not to be afraid to touch physically, but touch also spiritually, the reality that God is calling us. Father Hopko, I like to use his quotations often, you know, in spring, Lenten spring, he says, you know, he wrote that book in 1980s, so it's almost 40 years ago, and it's as relevant or even more today. He says, we have everything, but still we are not fulfilled. We search for something, and when we receive this, we are no longer happy. Why? Why we are in that situation? He says in his, you know, quotation, I'm just quoting from memory, he says, it seems to be a almost national disease for us in United States, now throughout the world. That disease already touched Europe, touched actually Ukraine before the war. You know, unfortunately, a lot of those aspects came, you know, with the freedom and independence also. And he says, why? Because we are not at home. Because the real reality that God is calling us is that divine reality. And time of Lent is that moment that we can stop, slow down, remind ourselves what is important in my life, in my own spiritual journey, in a journey of my family, in my neighbors, and readjust a little bit our bearings. And that image of leopards gives us another moment maybe to try something new. And I hope that all of you who are listening, all of us who are walking through this Lent, can pick up maybe something new, some new ministry, you know, looking at somebody in a store when you are passing, telling them that God loves them, smiling maybe, just smile at them. And people will naturally respond to you. And beyond this, maybe through your local communities, through your churches, involve yourself in activities. When we give a little bit, trust me, usually God gives us hundredfold more, and just a feeling of doing this for somebody else gives you a better appreciation of who you are, and you receive more than you even gave to those who were less fortunate among ourselves.
In the Eastern Catholic churches and in the Eastern Orthodox and other more Eastern-oriented churches, there are many ways, sense ways, physical ways of coming in contact with this reality that you speak about, Bishop. You know, for example, just recently we had in the Eastern Catholic Churches, the Icon Sunday. Icons, you mentioned that Bishop Buddha of Eternal Memory liked to write icons. And these things are very powerful images that can draw us into this reality. Icon Sunday was very special recently at your cathedral because you had so many children there with a big procession of icons. And how wonderful to see that these images can help us connect to these realities that you're talking about.
You know, we often call icons the window into heaven because it reminds you not the wood or, you know, paint that it's on that icon, but the reality, the image that it's representing of Christ, Mother of God, saints. And it goes even to statues. You know, it looks like before iconoclasm, actually there were also three-dimensional icons, which we would call them today statues. But if you had to run with those icons, it's hard to run with a statue. It's easier to pick up a small, you know, wooden icon that image of Christ or Mary is painted. But indeed, and it gave a chance for children to do. That's why in all of our traditions, you know, Latin or Eastern, why we have incense, why we have beautiful images in the churches, why we, you know, have anointing of the sick and other sacramentals, because we are humans. God gave us those senses, so through those senses we can also touch Him. Beauty will save the world.
Yeah, and for example, again, in the Eastern churches, and I want to remind people, many of our listeners are Roman Catholics, Latin Catholics, or Christians and other people of goodwill, may not be familiar with some of the things, the liturgy of the pre-sanctified gifts. This is something in the Eastern Catholic churches that comes only during Lent, during the Great Fast, in which it is very much of the senses, incense and processions and these sort of things. So, Bishop, it's a good time for all of us to get our minds moving during this Lent toward something more than just what is on this earth in front of us.
Indeed. And God will bless us. Soon, in the mid of the Lent, we have the Sunday of the Cross, where we sing, "To your cross, O Master, we bow in veneration, and we glorify your holy resurrection." Knowing how weak we are, even in that 40 days of Lent, in the middle of that Lent, we already say, "Lord, help us." We know your cross is salvation, but we also know that from cross comes also a gift of resurrection. And we will all enter into that time and hopefully walk with risen Christ.
You and your brother bishops of the Ukrainian Catholic Church in the United States are going to provide an opportunity very soon. In fact, it's within a couple of days of when our program will be on the air. You're having an online spiritual retreat. And this is going to be Sunday, the 19th of March. People can go on Facebook. Bishop Danilo, I know you've posted this, and the Eparchy of St. Josaphat has this retreat. It's brief, only an hour or two online for people. You can do it at home. What's going to be offered there, and what is the value of this for people to check in on this?
See, the blessings of technology, radio, that was, you know, for quite a bit with us already, and it's still, I think, a very important mean of communication. You know, we know that recently the law in the state of Ohio was passed that you're not supposed to drive and text. I think even the penalties for there are higher than usually, but you can listen to radio. So you can always turn to rock radio and enjoy a good spiritual conversation as we are having now or any other services. But with COVID, we started to use more Zoom. You know, together 200 people or more in one place for retreat from across, let's say, of just one region, not talking about the eparchy that stretches 11 states, you know, from Cleveland to Key West, Florida, for me. That gives a chance that we can meet. And that Sunday 19, and if those of you who can be live with us, you are more than welcome to attend. It's called The Hope to Which Lord Calls Us. And we will reflect on the aspects probably close to our heart, you know, helping those who are less fortunate, poor and those who are on margins, talking about the wounds and curing them and traumas, both related to war, but also we all carry some wounds in our lives that need to be healed. And now time of Lent, it's a great opportunity. And also all four of our bishops in the United States will lead us. It will be a short prayers and reflections, and then a hope for questions and answers. So if you can be live with us, it's through the League of Ukrainian Catholics website, but I believe there will be also a recording after that retreat, so you'll be able to maybe in quietness of your own time see it.
Right. League of Ukrainian Catholics, that'll be on Sunday, 19th of March. And if you're interested, for just an hour or hour and a half, 2 hours maximum, get a little taste of what Ukrainian Catholic spirituality is like, straight from the four Ukrainian Catholic bishops here in the United States. One of them is with us in the studio here, His Grace Bishop Danilo. We'll continue our conversation on Table Talk and wrap things up right after we take one final break. Thanks. Welcome back as we wrap up our discussion here on Table Talk on AM 1260, The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio. Bishop Danilo is in studio with us. Bishop, you were talking earlier about what a confusing moral environment the world is in, not just the United States, but you mentioned Europe, Ukraine, it's everywhere. What is truth? Everybody has their own truth. You see things differently and it's okay, but it's not okay. There's a great need for moral clarity. Something that is going to be, and I've discussed this with other bishops that have come on here, something that is most likely going to come in front of us in Ohio, as it did in other states, is to put into Ohio's Constitution abortion on demand. Anytime, anywhere, any month, right up to birth, no questions asked, and the people are going to be asked to vote on this. And tragically, in Michigan, they voted yes. Other states have versions of this. Kentucky, Vermont, Montana. What are people thinking? Bishop, we need to think about what we're doing and get involved in these things that they're part of our spiritual responsibility, right?
We spent almost half of today's program talking about the wounds of war and how as a society we are very attentive to war and losing life. Well, here we are talking about the life which is the most unprotected, a life of child in a womb of the mother, a beginning of something beautiful. We should protect this. You know, as Christians, we have responsibility. As people of goodwill, any one of us who walks on the street and sees a child playing, you know, even if you are a not kind person or maybe in a bad spirit or bad feelings, somehow when you look at that child, everything is changing. How much more we need to do this? We are the heartland of United States, you know, state of Ohio. You know, founding fathers came from this beautiful land 250 years ago almost, you know, to start a constitution. And trust me, maybe they didn't put this in writing in constitution, but they lived that experience. They protected each life from the beginning to the end, from the conception to the natural death. And we as Christians, as Catholic especially, we cannot separate our faith, our beliefs from the public expression of this. What otherwise is the reason for being Christians? It's we are not willing to defend those things for outside. You know, Tertullian a number of years ago said the blood of Christians is a seed for the new Christians. You know, people being killed by animals in the arenas of Rome and other places of Roman Empire were inspiration for others to follow. Let us do this. Let us express the need for this. We'll help for those who are, you know, going through hardship of pregnancy, for example. If to be a Christian or Catholic is to help less fortunate now in the land, there is more than enough of us to bring that life to a flourishing, help with education of that child, and perhaps one of those unwanted pregnancies will be the next senator, your school superintendent, your teacher, or perhaps a president of the United States. Let's give them a chance to live. But before that, we have to stand for what we believe, namely, go and vote for those principles that guide our life. And if the Constitution of Ohio allows us to vote and say, I wish this land to be in this way or another, let us express that feeling. So I encourage everyone to, first of all, learn more about this and then do your duty. Do your duty as a citizen of Ohio and vote. Vote for what is right.
We're talking with Bishop Bogdan Danilo, and we only have Bishop less than a couple of minutes left, so we have several weeks left in Great Lent. Would you wrap up our program here with a short prayer and then your blessing, please?
Soon we will enter in the most beautiful week of Christian life. We tend to enjoy Christmas, and it's true, it's joyful, it's Emmanuel coming with us, but the fullness of Christianity will be in a full expression in front of our eyes during the Holy Week, during the Holy Thursday, before even Christ entering the city of Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, then definitely all the events of related to the cross, and finally the resurrection. Let us find a moment to visit the churches during the Lent. Stop not just on Sunday when there is more people, but find a quiet moment. Drive by the church when it's open. Walk inside and just talk to God. Talk in a language that it's known to you and God the best. Just through your thoughts, maybe through some prayers that you learned from your grandparents, parents, from the liturgical celebration. So that experience of Christ dying and raising for your, mine, salvation will be as real as we can. And then also remember, when we fall, even after Easter, those who are the closest to Christ, they were not at the cross even. But then by encountering a living Christ, be it Mary Magdalene in a garden, be it the disciples who were running to see the empty tomb, or the 11 gathered in upper room, or the two disciples walking on the road to Emmaus. They were confused. They didn't know what happened, and they lived with Christ. If I have a problem of sometimes falling short in my spiritual life, what about those who were with Christ day in and day out? And Christ still gave them a chance and hope. God is love. He wants us to be with Him. So may God bless each and every one of us as we enter into that beautiful ending season of Lent. May the experience and joy of that Easter morning, and we all have it, for one reason or another, when we come to our churches on Easter and we see so many people and families gather together, there is that joy. May that joy be with us, not just for a short Easter season, but always. And then when the time of trial and tribulation happens in our life, remember, you are not alone. God is with you, and as long as we turn to Him, He will be able to guide us to a better tomorrow. So may God bless each and every one of us. May the Christ who is coming for our salvation to give the life and the risen Christ be with us always, now and forever and ever. Amen.
Bishop Danilo, thank you very much for being with us here on Table Talk. I'm Dick Russ, our producer Dan Dealey. For all of us here at The Rock, we thank you very much for listening.
The preceding program was a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you liked it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock.
Click on the orange donate button at AM 1260TheRock.com.